Let me say this in starting off. Your foundation that we're going to use in this whole discussion is knowing God. It's having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to say that many of us at points say, yeah, we know God. But unfortunately, we know God like we know the neighbor down the street. You know, we've seen him, and we know basically his schedule and kind of what he's about. But as far as having any intimate knowledge of him, we really don't know him. Some people say he's your personal savior, a personal relationship. I think that's excellent to use the word personal. You start thinking about the number of people who you know personally, your wife, your children, your brothers, your sister, your mother, your dad, you know, maybe an intimate friend who you shared your innermost thought and being with. That's the kind of relationship that we're talking about here with Christ, is that personal relationship. Secondly, that's the foundation. Secondly, we want to also help you understand knowing yourself. Now, I personally feel, and it's from my own experience that I say this, I personally feel that if you know God and have a personal relationship with Him, and secondly, if you know yourself, then you've taken some giant steps to organizing your time, organizing yourself to accomplish the purpose that God has placed you here for. Have you ever considered why God put you on this earth at this point of time? Put you with the family He has? Put you in a job that you have and so forth? Have you ever considered that? Well, you know, I happen to believe that God is sovereign. And it was no accident the way I was made with my strengths and weaknesses and with my location, my vocation, with my wife and family and so forth. And I, you know, it's really kind of fun trying to discern the mind of God in these matters. Well, we're not going to be entirely doing that right now in this session, but what we are going to try to do is help you understand you. And this will become obvious in the area of time management as to why we're doing this in a few minutes. We want to take a test. It's been quite a while since you've taken a pop test, I'm sure, isn't it? Take a test. You're going to grade it. Help me on that. Then we're going to talk about the results of the test. We're going to talk about the results of the test in a few minutes and relate that to the time management. There's a verse that I'd like to share with you that I think is kind of a it's a verse that's blessed me and kind of put things in perspective for me in my business life. Proverbs 24 verses 3 and 4. And I use the Living translation here, not because it's not because of any theological reason, but just because it says what I think needs to be said in this session. It says, any business or any enterprise is, number one, built by wise planning. Number two, becomes strong through common sense. And number three, profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. I think if you could implement those three things into your career, into your family, into your time schedule, you'll be a lot further ahead than a lot of fellows. Maybe you're a lot further ahead than I am. I'm having a hard time doing that myself. It's built by wise planning. It becomes strong through common sense. And third, profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. Now, relating that to time, first of all, we're going to do some planning. And before we do planning, we need to find out something about yourself. You've got in front of you a temperament test. How many of you are familiar with temperaments? Let me see a show of hands. Well, good. We got more people in here. How many of you know your temperaments? Let me see a show of hands. Well, super. Well, we're not talking to a bunch of amateurs here. That's great. Here's the page that you have. Let me show you how to work this. Look at each line going across. You see four words. You see nine lines. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Go through each line examine the four words there, and then rate those words using four, using the number four for the word that describes you the most, or the best, and use the value number one for the word that describes you the least. For example, let's say that tentative is a word that describes you the most. Put a four by it. Practical is a word that describes you the least. Put a one by it. All right, take a look at the other two and then pick from those two which describe you the most. Well, discriminating does, so I'll put a three by that and a two by involved. Now, what you have there, you have four, which is the word that describes you the most. Discriminating describes you next, involved next, and then practical describes you the least. Go through all nine and do that right now, if you will. And then I'll tell you how to grade these. No. Unfortunately. And I don't have a dictionary either, so you're on your own. Okay, those of you that are through, look up here, and if you're not through, you might just listen with one ear and go ahead and work through them if you can. Show you how to score this. Focus now on the rows, in other words, coming down. And you've put a value into each of the blanks on each row coming down. Now notice at the bottom here, you've got a name of one of the four characteristics, one of the four temperaments. You've got sanguine, melancholy, phlegmatic, and choleric. Now, underneath the line, you'll see these numbers, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, and 8. Those numbers correspond, or is really directing you to the number of the row up above here. It's it's hard to explain. Hopefully you'll be able to catch it. For example, 2 is talking about that row right there. 3, 4, 5, 7, and 8. There's 6 numbers. 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, and 8. 6 numbers that are pointed out here. Add up those 6 numbers. I'm not doing a very good job of this, but add up those 6 numbers. For example, 2 and 4 are 6, 7, 10, and 16. And then put your point value right there. You see what we're doing? Over here, melancholy is 1, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9. Add up those point values and put your number right here. Phlegmatic is 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, 9. Put your point value right there, and the same with cleric. 1, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9 on cleric. You should have no more and no less than 6 numbers in your total. If you've got more or less, you've done it incorrect. You need to check yourself. Okay, those of you that are finished can post your numbers to the second sheet. You've got a kind of a bullseye looking score sheet on the second page. In the example, you scored 16 on sanguine. Notice that there's 4 axes here. Each axis represents a different temperament. You have point quantities from 9 to 20 on the sanguine axis. Locate 16, in other words, the raw score on page 1, and circle it or put an X right there in some way indicate your score on that axis. And then do the same with melancholy. Let's assume you had 13 there. Phlegmatic, 23. Choleric, 15. You know, whatever. Post the 4 axes with your raw score. What helps me is after you've done that, connect the lines. Or connect the dots or X's or whatever with lines, I should say. And that's your temperament profile. Now, some of you may have gone off the chart. For example, sanguine. You may have scored 21 or 22, and it's not shown here. It's off the chart. Well, one of two things has happened. Number one, you've added incorrectly. You may have 7 numbers in there instead of 6, so double-check that. Or you've just plumb added correctly. Sometimes it's difficult to add, multiply, subtract, and divide when you don't have a little calculator. We've become so dependent on that. The second thing could happen is that you are truly a sanguine. So just because you go off the chart doesn't necessarily mean you've done it wrong. Or you could be off the chart on melancholy or choleric or phlegmatic. Now, after you've developed your temperament profile, take a look at what percentile you fall in. Notice that the concentric circles represent percents. And the percents run from 20, 40, 60, 80, and to 100%. Is there anybody that did not have a temperament characteristic fall in 80% or better? Did not have 80% or better on any one? One or more? Just 1, 2, 3, 4? Okay. Not 80% or better. Okay, for purpose of the discussion from here forward, pick out the one or the two, if you were tied, that you rank the most in. Really, what that reflects probably is that you've got a very balanced temperament, if you didn't rank over 80%. But maybe looking at your, at the design, the schematic there, you can see yourself skewed one way or the other. Your temperament may be favoring any one of the four axes. So pick out the temperament that reflects you the most and take a look at that. Now, you may have two temperaments that fell 80% or better. Well, that's fine, too. Focus on those two. Then look at page 3 in your handout, and you'll find a description of the temperaments, beginning with the temperament sanguine. Well, we don't have a overhead on that. But you'll notice there's a dictionary definition of sanguine, as well as the other temperaments, and then you've got a listing of characteristics that are strengths or weaknesses of each of the temperaments. Now, if you're a sanguine and you're reading through those strengths and weaknesses, you'll be able to identify with many of them. You'll be able to see yourself in the strengths. And if you look hard enough and are honest with yourself, you'll see yourself in the weaknesses also. Now, I happen to feel that a person should not only know their strengths. That's something we like to pat ourselves on the back with, is our strengths. But I feel it's just as important, if not more so, that we understand our weaknesses. Now, what do you do with your weaknesses? Well, you try to overcome them. There's a little project that we do with that. We won't do it now, but I'll just describe it to you, and you can do it later if you'd like. Pick out your three greatest strengths. Pick out your three greatest weaknesses. And list on a piece of paper. List your strengths over here, your three greatest strengths. List your three greatest weaknesses over here, things you really have a problem with. I have a problem with critical spirit. I have a problem with teasing. So forth. So I've got three strengths and three weaknesses listed down here on a piece of paper. Then list the fruit of the Spirit over here on the strengths. You ever realized that if the Holy Spirit and Christ dwells in you, you have available to you the fruit of the Spirit? That's a strength. So list them down. Love, patience, forbearance, so forth. List those down. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, you've got 9 fruit of the Spirit. You've got 3 strengths out of your temperament. That's a total of 12 strengths available to combat 3 weaknesses. The odds are pretty good there, aren't they? Yeah. I ought to be able to handle that. Yeah. So, take a strength. Take one strength and match that strength up against... Excuse me. Let me say, take the weakness. Take the first weakness and match that up against the strengths over here, any 1, 2, 3, 4 strengths that effectively counter that weakness. Do that with the second weakness. Match them up against the strengths. Opposites are opposing forces countering. Do that with the third weakness. Then take a weakness a week, or take a weakness a month, whatever you want to do. Locate scripture that speaks to your strengths. Memorize it. Work on overcoming that weakness in your life. Work on building the strength greater into your life. For example, one of my greatest weaknesses was critical spirit. You know, I didn't necessarily verbalize it all the time, but in my own thinking process, I'd see something, somebody does something or says something or looks a certain way and so forth, and I'd be critical of them. Well, it suddenly dawned on me that I didn't have love, or I needed to develop love in my life greater than what it was. So I looked for a verse that spoke to love. I found one in 1 Timothy 1:5. Whereas the aim of our charge is love, agape, which springs forth, which issues from three things: a clear conscience, a pure heart, and a sincere faith. Well, that caused me to look a little deeper into what is a pure heart. What is a clear conscience? And what is a sincere faith? Scripture seems to indicate if I can concentrate on those three things, then love will be built into me, which will then overcome the critical spirit. And I'm working on that. And I want you to know I'm having some victories in that. So that's a way that you can use these weaknesses and the strengths to pit them against one another, and then in turn build Christ-like character into you from a point of knowledge as to what your temperament is. Now, how does that relate to time? Just this. We were under a time pressure here in taking the test. Now, if you're a sanguine, chances are, and I'm speaking in generalities here, so you know, it may not necessarily apply to you if you're one of these temperaments. If you're a sanguine, chances are, when you took the test, you were feeling real good about it, and you were punching the guy next to you, and you know, looking on his paper, and you know, really taking it kind of in a carefree attitude, and really trying to relate to the people next to you. And as a result of that, you probably got behind. All right. If you're a choleric, you charge right ahead. You were probably the first one through. You probably finished the test before anybody around you. If you are a melancholy, you probably studied the words. You probably really studied hard, and you found it real difficult to discern between the words, and you really got in depth into the words instead of just answering the question just right off the top of your head with your first impressions. And if you were a phlegmatic, you probably went to sleep. All right. Now I can teach phlegmatics because I am a phlegmatic, and I can speak from a point of being an expert. Well, let me give you some other examples about how your temperaments affect your time and things that you should be aware of in your daily life and your daily business. A sanguine has a real problem refusing responsibilities. They'll say yes to everything because they don't want to offend anybody. And as a result of that, you find yourself so loaded down you can't do anything right. You have to learn how to say no. You also have to learn how to manage the time available to you to fulfill the responsibilities that you've said yes to. Sanguines also have a problem wasting time. They waste time with people. Now, everybody wastes time. Melancholies may waste time a different way from sanguines. But sanguines waste time with people. They love to go on coffee breaks, long coffee breaks, extended lunch hours with a group of people. You know, they'll go have lunch and spend an hour and a half, and they just got involved in talking and visiting and laughing and telling jokes and just really enjoying each other. And the time got away from them. A choleric is a type of person that charges ahead with boldness and drive and aggressiveness. And they're really conscious of what they're trying to accomplish. And they just charge right ahead at the expense of some things that really ought to be important in their lives, such as their spiritual relationship. Setting aside some time daily to be with the Lord. You know, you wake up, your motor's running, you just got to get these things done. And you kind of shove aside your quiet time, shove aside your prayer life and say, well, I'll get to that later. And later never comes. Same thing happens to your family. You're charging ahead so aggressively in your business, you neglect your wife and your children, and you're out of balance there. Third is your physical condition. You know, you charge ahead and you might be subject to ulcers and heart attack and whatever. You know, your physical condition deteriorates. Phlegmatic. Well, phlegmatics are basically lazy. And they have a hard time getting started in the morning. They're the people that come in at 9:30, you know. They're the fellows that have the problem with self-starting. They have a real need. I say we have a real need to be motivated. And if you're in business for yourself, you've got to look to ways to be motivated besides a boss. Because you ain't got the boss. You know, I mean, really, you know, you're your own boss. So you've got to set your own schedule Set your own deadlines, set your own points of accomplishment, and then strive toward that and exercise a great deal of self-control, which is really against the nature of a phlegmatic. So phlegmatic has a lot of problem with their time. They have a tendency to waste a lot of time. Melancholy, they're subject to depression, and the depression will rob them of their effectiveness. You'll have a real good day. Boy, you'll really accomplish some things. You'll make a sale or two, and you'll have some victories in your business. You'll really be feeling good, and then the next day you just fall into the pits. You know, you just don't feel good. You're kind of depressed, you know, and you're just kind of down. And, you know, you may waste the whole day being in a kind of a depressive state. Elijah had this problem. After he went on the mountain, had this tremendous victory up there on the mountain. God really revealed himself in a real way, tremendous spiritual experience. The next day, he was in a pit of depression. You know, it's meant a lot to me to ask myself the question that God asked Elijah. If you'll remember in 2 Kings, about the 10th chapter, God came to Elijah and said, "What are you doing here?" I'm not sure that God was concerned so much about his geographic location as he was his mental state. What are you doing here? And I think melancholies, and I'm speaking to myself here because I'm partially melancholic, we need to ask ourselves that question periodically. Okay, we got a pretty good handle on ourselves. We know where our weaknesses are as far as effective time management. Let's talk about something else. Knowing yourself not only includes your temperaments, but also knowing your spiritual gift, our gifts. We're not going to spend any time on that now. Just want to make you aware, if you don't know your spiritual gift, try to find out. There's a number of different areas that you might go to find out what your spiritual gift is. Third, we want to talk about priorities and purposes. Priorities and purposes. You know, God put you here on earth for a purpose. That overall purpose is like an umbrella governing everything you do. There are a number of verses that speak of your purpose in life. Romans 8, 28 and 29 is one section. 1 Corinthians 5, 17 plus is another area. Ford mentioned that this morning. I believe there's an area in Ephesians 2 that talks about your purpose in life. And there's a fourth, and I can't recall it right now. But you're going to have to go to the Lord yourself and ask Him, "What is my purpose?" And maybe start with these scriptures and work your way into some other areas of the scripture and try to discern your purpose. But try to find out your purpose in life. Now, your overall purpose, I would suggest that you start, first of all, you write it out. Second, I suggest that you start it out by saying to glorify God by whatever that is. To glorify God by. I think we're all here to the glory of God. And we might as well say that in trying to discern our purpose. Now, when you get a handle on your overall purpose, then begin to discern your purpose in each of four major areas of your life. And I'm going to give these to you as I feel that they should be reflected in the order of priority, in the order of where your priorities are. Number one is the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first," not second, third, fourth, "seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." So the kingdom of God. Priority number two, family. Here's your family, your wife and your children. Priority number three, let's say your personal development. I'm going to use Luke 2:52 as a springboard for our thinking here. It says, "Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, in favor with God, in favor with man." Now, favor of God dovetails back to your kingdom here. So there's some duplication here. And incidentally, kingdom includes within and without. Without getting into a long discussion of the meaning of kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, and so forth, let's just say that when we speak of the kingdom of God, we're talking about the development within of our personal relationship with Christ, and then our development without as far as our work of faith is concerned. Our ministry, if you will. Okay. Now, putting this on a practical level, in personal development, wisdom could be intellectual development or judgment, whatever. How many books a year do you read? How much study do you do, intellectual study? Inside or outside the scriptures? Stature refers, let's say, in our point of life, to our physical condition. How many pounds overweight are you? You exercise regularly? How's your diet? You eat a balanced diet, a lot of green foods, so forth. Favor with God, spiritual relationship. Favor with man is our social relationship. One word about social relationship. We have a tendency as believers to function in a sterile atmosphere. And when I say sterile, you know, in my situation, we were very active in our church, and all our friends are church friends. You know, we run around with church friends. They're all believers. We all think alike. I've stopped and wondered, how in the world can I be salt when I'm running around with believing friends? Now, I'm not saying you've got to run around with unbelieving friends. But what I'm saying is that there needs to be some unbelievers in your life that you bring in, so that you can be salt to. There was a friend of mine that became aware of this particular situation, and he joined a country club and purposed to play tennis one day a week, at least once a week, with an unbeliever. And so he's working his way through members in the club playing tennis. And he's given an opportunity to witness by his lifestyle and his words the name of Jesus in that club. Something like this. Now, this may not be necessarily your vehicle. You may have, in your job, enough unbelievers around you to keep you busy for 3 or 4 years. Fine. That's why God put you there. And, you might follow through with that. Okay. Now, talking about purpose here, we said our overall purpose was to glorify God in a certain way, maybe using these verses as a springboard. Let me encourage you and challenge you. In each of these areas, kingdom, family, personal, and let's see, there's a fourth, which would be career. To develop, as best you can discern the mind of God, a purpose for each of those four areas. A purpose for each of those four areas. Now, every one of your purposes in kingdom, family, personal, and career should dovetail into that overall purpose. For example, let me give you an example of my purposes here, a couple of them. My primary purpose, my overall purpose, is to glorify God by being committed totally to Jesus Christ and thereby reflecting His character in all my words, thoughts, attitudes, and actions. Now, let me show you how career dovetails into that. I hope it does. All right. Career, my purpose in career, is to glorify God by, number one, applying scriptural principles in my business dealings and attitudes. And number two, providing for the comfort of my family. Now, hopefully, the purpose I've said here fits into the overall purpose. Purpose personal fits into overall purpose. Family, kingdom, and so forth. Now, I feel you have to understand your purpose before you can define your goals and objectives. And you have to define your goals and objectives before you can develop a time schedule. It's just a matter of getting organized. You know, the verse we quoted here a minute ago said that any enterprise is built by wise planning. This is part of the process that we're going through right now. Now, after you get your purpose, then in each of these areas, you can develop your specific goals and objectives and so forth. Now, your goals and objectives are going to differ from mine. Many of us have a tendency to put down as goals and objectives things that we want to do. There's a personal prejudice here. I want to encourage you to seek the mind of God in trying to define what your goals and objectives are. Do it through prayer. We could say a few words about a couple of verses here. You, the Lord's Prayer, you're praying for heaven on earth, for His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why not pray for His will to be done on earth in your life if it's already programmed out in heaven? It's a matter of plugging into that. You know, it's a tremendous revelation. It's a tremendous experience for you in your relationship with the Lord to sit down and be impressed of the Lord to set certain goals and objectives this year and to live through the year and find out that the Lord has blessed you in those areas and you've accomplished that. You've sought the mind of God, you've found it, and you work hard at accomplishing what God has already laid out for you. There's a real sense of satisfaction there. Now, we've looked at knowing yourself. We've looked at priorities and purposes. Let's say a few words next about scheduling time. We've defined where we're going. Now, how are we going to get there? Let me suggest to you that you sit down and develop kind of a master time budget. And I'm going to show you how I've done it here. And, you know, you may not necessarily want to do it this way. You may have a better way to do it. I've come up with a chart. Across the top, I've got the days of the week. And then down the left-hand side, I've got time, starting at 7 o'clock in the morning on 30-minute intervals. So forth. I quit at 10 o'clock. At least the time chart quits at 10 o'clock. Now, most of us keep the same schedule every week. I mean, you know, basically we keep the same schedule every week. You know, from 7 to 7:30, we're getting dressed, we're having our quiet time, we're, you know, playing racquetball or, you know, whatever it is on that particular day. You can block out certain times for certain functions. It may just be personal time. You're taking a shower, shaving, and getting dressed. You know, but you do it basically at the same time every day during the week, or the same time each day during the week. We all basically work the same time. I mean, you drive to work from 8 to 8:30, you work from 8:30 to 5, you drive home from 5 to 5:30, and you sit and read the paper from 5:30 to 6:30 and watch the news. Then from 6:30 to 7, you eat supper from 7, you know, we basically carry the same schedule forward from week to week. So block out those, let me call it fixed time obligations. You have a Wednesday night Bible study, block that out. You have a Tuesday night visitation, block that out. You have a Saturday morning breakfast. Block that out. Block out your noon hours. And what you have left is really what you have to work with. Now, chances are what you blocked out are your spiritual obligations and your career obligations. And maybe some personal time. You know, shaving, showering, and so forth. So what you blocked out are those things that are required that you do. And what you have left are those optional things. So you have an option of either using them productively or else wasting it. What I want to encourage you to do is be conscious of the time that you waste. Set out with your timesheet and fill into those variable times things that will be productive in the area of your personal development, your spiritual relationship, and with your family. Now, you may find you have Thursday night open, for example, Thursday night. Set that aside as time for the family. Do something together with your family. You may find you've got a couple of hours on Monday night available. Set that time aside for a date with one of your kids. I've got two girls. One's 8 and the other's 11. We alternate. I alternate with them every week and taking them out. At least we try to. This has increased substantially in the relationship I have with my daughters. It's been one of the most valuable things I could have done. It's not originally the Trinity River and the paddle boat. We get in the paddle boats and paddle around. We go to McDonald's and get some hash browns or French fries. You know, simple little things. They have their own desires as to what they want to do with Dad. And it's tremendous fun. One of the things that that I found beneficial, particularly when your kids get older, is to take them with you on a business trip. You're out and in on a day or so business trip. Take them with you. Let them see Daddy's world when he's away from home. Take them into the banker. Sit them down. Let them listen to you when you talk to your banker. Or when you're making a sales presentation, a sales pitch. You'll be surprised at the discernment and the feedback you'll get from your kids when they see you in action. And they'll begin to understand what Daddy does when he's away from home. He's just not loafing and goofing off. You know, he's doing something with some value there. Okay. One word. After you planned your time, you planned your time budget, you know where you're headed in terms of your goals and objectives, you're basically 10 to 15% done. Spend all that time and getting organized and everything is of no value until you audit yourself and start giving yourself feedback. I don't know how y'all are with budgets, but with me, I have a difficult time. It takes a great deal of discipline for me to give feedback to myself as to how I'm doing against my budget, my time budget, my financial budget, and so forth. And you're really wasting your time if you go through all this exercise and don't give yourself feedback. Let me encourage you, when you develop your goals and objectives, to be specific. I'm going to, at a certain time, at June 1, at September 1, and December 31, I'm going to weigh X number of pounds, or less than X number of pounds. I'm going to read one book a month. I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. I'm going to date one of my kids at least once every 10 days. In other words, be quantified as much as you can, because then you can tell whether or not you're on goal or not. I want to challenge you, if you will, to pray through your income for this year. Just let the Lord give you a figure. Your gross income for 1979. And just let Him develop a figure. Put it down and work hard and let the Lord answer your prayer. You'll be amazed. You know, in fact, I think you'll be amazed if you wrote down all your prayer requests, because you'll see a lot of your prayers are answered that you don't even know that they're answered. You forgot you prayed that request. All right, we've got a little bit of time left. I've run through this very rapidly, you know, and I hope that maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken to you in a way that may have fulfilled a need. Let me stop right now. That's basically the presentation. You help me fill in the gaps through your questions, okay? What are some questions that you might have, maybe related to your particular situation? Yes, sir.
When you're running on a schedule and you've done this, you know, you're trying to do the audit and everything else, but you find yourself coming up short, or you find yourself being overly optimistic, or maybe time and running together. How do you handle that on a, let's say, a daily or a weekly basis, some fairly short time period, when you realize that you didn't do it and you come out of it and you say, boy, you know, I really blew that one. Do you do a try and restructure at that point, or do you just try to convince yourself to a better time tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, let me say this first of all, and then I'll give you a more practical example. Come back and look at your list. You got 42 items right here. Okay? Obviously, there's no way you can get all that done. But which of the 42 is the most important? Which of the 42 is the most important thing? Now, how do you determine what's important? Well, you determine that by looking at your goals and objectives and relating to your purpose in life. That kind of puts things back in perspective here. So you figure out what's the most important, and you put a 1 by it. Then you say, okay, what's the next most important? Put a 2 by that. And a 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, so forth. Then you've got basically a list of priorities as to what you're going to try to attack tomorrow. So you get up, you get dressed, and you move through the day with purpose, knowing where you're headed. You start on that number 1. That number 1 is call so-and-so and arrange appointment for Thursday to make a presentation. So you pick up the phone. You hit the office. Immediately you pick up the phone. You don't sit around, you know, trying to organize your desk. And, you know, you waste 30 minutes just trying to figure out, what am I going to do first? I don't know about y'all, but when I sit out at my desk, there's so many things to do there. I just sit there for an hour in a daze, you know, trying to figure out what to do first. But if I've got this list, I've already organized myself. And when I hit the office, I pick up the phone. I can call so-and-so, set up the appointment. I carry the step as far as it'll go, or until it's finished. As far as I can carry it. Let's assume I picked up the phone, I called him, tried to set up an appointment for Thursday, he was out. I left word. There's nothing more I can do. So I move on to step number 2. Number 2 was prepare this cost breakdown of so-and-so. So I get all the files out, and I prepare the cost breakdown, give it to the typist, type, I'm through, I can scratch that off. Then I go on to number 3, number 4, number 5. You'll find that you'll look back on the day with a sense of satisfaction of looking at that list and seeing the things you've got lined off. Wow, man, I really done good today. Yes.
I do that. And the thing I end up with is this bottom half, right?
Right. The non-productive
thing. And I come out and I call that the LPL. That's my lingering problem list. And it just rolls, you know. And, I don't know, I've almost come to the conclusion that I've got to set up an LPL day where that is the priority.
That's right, you do. You know, you do. You got to turn your list upside down periodically
and
work those off. Yeah. No, you really do. And what you'll do is you'll find that maybe those things at the top aren't that pressing. You know, they could slide. The paperwork and, you know, and so forth. So you turn your list upside down and you get that done. Let me encourage you to do the same thing in your family around the house. You know, I mentioned your relationship with your family here, your wife and your children. I don't know about your wife, but I have a feeling they're just like mine. My wife likes for me to do 2 things. Number 1 is spend time with her, which is easy to do, right? Number 2, she likes for me to get the things done around the house that need to be done. To fix the faucet in the kids' bathroom. To edge the front yard, to mow and edge the front yard. To fix the back door because it won't close properly. You know, all this stuff that you get into. And you know, that's a great deal of pressure to her because she lives with that all day long. And it's constantly on her mind. And she just wishes that you'd pay that some attention. So that's one of the ways that you can really meet a need in her life. Paying attention to some of those things. Yeah, Terrell.
You find it sometimes helpful to do the most unpleasant task first. I find it for myself that there's some perennial ones that I'll keep on the bottom of that list as long as I can if I don't do that.
Yeah, that's true. Phlegmatics will particularly have a problem with that. Phlegmatics, by their nature, are procrastinators. Man, I'll procrastinate until I've got people on my back just yelling and screaming at me, especially my wife. Anybody else? This is good. Let me ask you, do you have enough direction here to be able to put this to work? You know, this is a workshop and we're supposed to leave equipped to do it. Do you have that? All right, you have knowledge. Now the next step is to put it to work. But yes.
The problem I've had is, well, I guess you can say being over-organized to the extent that the rest of my family was never that way. My brothers, my mother, my father. I don't know how it was that I came out to be that way, but I am. And it's a hard thing for me to get out of the fact that I find myself going into a trap every day where, okay, this has got to be done in a certain way, in a certain order, and I've got to get it done. And I find myself getting getting more and more of the little things that aren't really meaningful, aren't that important.
Stan, is that right?
Steve.
Right.
And it really becomes a...
Let me ask you, are you melancholic?
I score pretty high on melancholy and sanguine.
Yeah. All right. That's your melancholy, I think. And this is part of knowing yourself in this area of time management. See, a melancholy will have a tendency to busy themselves with details to avoid confronting some issues, particularly involved with people. Now, when we make a living, we involve ourselves with people. It's just part of, you know, it's just part of the deal. And many of the important things we do, the productive things we do, involve others. So, what I've found, and I'm phlegmatic and melancholy, so I've got a good dose of both. And what I find myself, if I've got to get psyched up many times, I've got to get psyched up in order to go out and, you know, negotiate a deal or call on people or, you know, involved in some very important things that are key to me. But at the same time, they involve somebody else, many times a stranger. So I'll hide behind the guise of paperwork, close my door and do paperwork, get organized, you know, this type of thing. And maybe you can identify with that since I'm pointing it up. And I'm confessing to you, I have the same problem. And this is part of knowing yourself, is knowing that you do have that weakness. And now, what are you going to do about it? See, that's where you are. Does that help?
Yes.
Good. Anybody else? Instantly, sanguines need to set aside some time for paperwork. Melancholy has no problem with paperwork. Man, they could fill out the expense reports and, you know, all the other paperwork. But a sanguine will have trouble setting himself down and doing it. He'll lose his receipts. He'll forget how he spent the money, the advance. He can't find the plane ticket, you know. He may have even forgotten where he went. Had a great time, but I don't know where it was. Well, you know, this is just part of knowing yourself and then taking steps to compensate for your weaknesses.